Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Parenting Through the Coronavirus. I'm not even going to give this a number because I have no idea. Could be 37, 38, 39. It could be 4,000. I don't even know anymore. Anyway, I wanted to talk today about what do we do when our kids are grouchy and irritable? This is a question that came in from a parent, and I experienced it last night, as a matter of fact, in my own house. So I thought today would be a great day to talk about it. My son came down and he was helping to broil our steak for dinner. And my daughter was in the room and she was chattering his ear off, and he's generally not a big talker, and he was being very touchy, irritable, grouchy, and snappy with her. And I was maneuvering around trying to help them to both navigate this situation. And I feel like I was doing a pretty good job. And, but obviously, he wasn't behaving in a way that was acceptable or what I would want him, how I would want him to behave. However, when I think about the iceberg, which I talk about all the time, that a child's behavior and all of our behaviors are an iceberg, when we're acting a certain way, there's an underlying reason why, an unmet need that they have or something they're struggling with. And so I have learned to try 99.9% of the time. I look at people, everyone's behavior through the lens of that iceberg because it's so valuable. So I was able to see very quickly that something was bothering him. Hi, Laura. And so I wanted to find out what was bothering him. So we ended up going, you know, kind of finishing dinner for the most part, getting it done. It had a few minutes left on the timer. And then my husband, he snapped at my son for snapping at his sister. And then he got all flustered and he went up to his room. And so I left the timer on, told them to watch the rest of it, and then I went up and talked to him. I figured that I was going to have to go up and talk to him anyway because I needed to figure out why he was so irritable. I mean, he was grouchy. He was really on edge. And so I went up and talked to him, and we ended up talking for maybe an hour. We talked right through when dinner was ready. We talked right through everybody sitting down at the table and eating dinner, finishing dinner, cleaning up the dishes. And finally, my husband called up and asked if I wanted him to put away the food, you know, put the leftovers away. And I said, no, please. I was actually starving. We'll take care of it when we get down there. So we finished up talking and then we went downstairs. But in the talking of it, he expressed to me on an even clearer level, which I've been gaining more and more clarity into how he's feeling inside and dealing with this quarantine, I've been gaining more and more clarity with each conversation I have with him. He is a senior, and he is home. We're in week 7 now, and this is his senior year. He is missing his volleyball season, which was, you know, the pinnacle of what he was working towards in high school as an athlete. This was going to be the best season they were going to have. Their team was heavily favorited in the state. It was going to be a great season. He's been dreaming about the season since he started as a freshman. All the boys, anytime I saw them over the past year since last spring, they kept talking about how much they're looking forward to this season and how great it's going to be and how much fun it's going to be. So they're all missing out big time on this. Here's my kitty. Say hi, kitty. And so we don't know yet at this point if school will go back in session. We're one of the few states in the country, in the U.S., that have not closed school for the whole school year. And our governor in New Jersey is really trying hard not to just blanket close the school, because he's trying to buy time to see if they can go back even for a few weeks. The Sports Association in New Jersey for high school sports agreed to extend the deadline for finishing seasons to June 30th. So there is still a small window of possibility that they could squeeze in an abbreviated season in the month of June, let's say. So all hope is not lost, but right now he's kind of like in suspended animation. You know, in the Matrix movie where, I think it's where the bullet gets shot out and then the bullet freezes in midair, and then the camera pans around in 360 and you see it kind of sitting there. And then I think he ducks like that, and then the camera pans around him. I feel like that's my son right now. He's in this weird suspended animation where he's potentially losing so much that teenagers look forward to in their high school careers, but maybe he's not. So it's almost like the grieving process is on hold, like we're all holding our breath. So he's potentially losing that. We don't know yet. He's potentially losing his senior prom. They've already talked about pushing it back to June if possible. But I mean, how are you going to get 400 to 800 kids packed together in some kind of banquet hall dancing? I don't know how that's going to happen, but they're trying to see if they can make this a reality for them. And then graduation, who knows? Is it going to happen? Is it going to be virtual? Who knows? So he's kind of living in this suspended animation, and nothing has been canceled to where he can fully just lean into the grieving process, but he's still grieving. He's still missing the spring of his senior year when he has a car and his friends are home from college and he can have freedom. He has very few classes. So it's really hard for him because he has very few classes. He only has one. And there's not a whole lot of work. It's just English. And so he doesn't have schoolwork anchoring him. And he doesn't have work anchoring him. He got laid off from his job at IHOP when this quarantine hit, when our stay-at-home orders came in. So he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have school, really, just a little bit of schoolwork. He can't really see his friends and have sleepovers and hang out and go all the places they typically would go. So he's just kind of home, stuck home day after day after day, and it's been really hard for him. And so he has absolutely no motivation. He is grieving the stuff that he's missing out on. And so my daughter, being her normal bubbly self, was really getting under his skin last night. And so he was really, really grouchy. And so while I don't want him to treat her like that, I had to call him on his behavior. But if I had called him on it by yelling at him for yelling at her, then I would have just set another chain of events into motion. And how does it work for me to yell at him for yelling at her? I'm doing exactly what I'm telling him not to do, which doesn't make a whole lot of logical sense. So I just tried to maneuver the interactions with them the best I can, and then go talk to him privately about what's going on and how he's feeling and what's happening. And so I feel like I was able to, if nothing else, at least allow him to get some of it off of his chest, you know, because I'm sure he's seeing it on Snapchat and social media every day. Who's missing out? Who's complaining? Who's sad? So it's in his mind, and he's seeing news reports about the virus and the shutdowns and how long is it going to go and what's going to happen and will they go back to school? So it's certainly on his mind every day. I don't want to drag him through talking about it every day, but it's certainly in the front of his mind every day. So I tried to be a source of release of all that pent up emotions, all those pent up emotions and the feelings and the thoughts and the frustrations. And then after we were done talking, we came downstairs and ate dinner, he and I, because everybody else was done. And then he went in the basement and worked out, which he's been lacking some motivation to do that. He knows he should, but he's just having such a hard time. He didn't even have the motivation for that. So after our talk and after our dinner, he went downstairs and worked out. And he seemed like he felt a little bit better after that. So I thought this was a really great thing to discuss, because when our kids are being rude or disrespectful or grouchy, there's something going on. And if we stay on the surface of that behavior and we just jump on them or punish them or yell at them or whatever we're doing, guilt them or what have you for the way they're acting, it doesn't get you any closer to getting to the root of the problem or getting to a resolution. If I had yelled at him last night, all I would have caused him to do was to remember to bite his tongue and keep his mouth shut when he's around his sister. And how is that getting anywhere? It's not helping their relationship. It's not helping him to get what's bothering him off his chest. It's not doing anything. It might stop the bickering and the way he was treating her, but it's not actually solving the problem. We can't solve the problem if we're stuck on the symptom. We have to go to the cause of the symptom. That's what we talk about in medicine, and that's what we have to talk about in parenting too. We have to get to the root problem and see if we can address that. So when we were talking last night, I said, I wish there was something I could do. I wish there was some way I could make it easier for you. I'll never stop thinking about it. You know, he said, you don't even have to bother. There's nothing you can do. And I said, well, I haven't figured it out too much other than being a place where you can unload your feelings, which I'll always be that for you. But if there's one sliver in a million chance that I can come up with something that will help you, I'm not going to stop trying to figure out what that is, because you're my child and I love you and I can't stand to see you this way. And if there's anything I can do at all to ease your suffering right now, I want to do it. So that's the message I left him with. And I think that, you know, even though we didn't come up with any quote-unquote solutions, I wasn't able to wave a magic wand and let him go back to school and wave a magic wand and start his volleyball season and wave a magic wand and make prom this weekend. I wasn't able to solve all those things, but I was able to be a place where he could unload all those pent-up feelings, all of them. So when your child is showing disrespect to you or their siblings or their other parent, you still have to call them on the behavior. It's not a good idea to just condone their behavior through lack of action. However, you could yell at them, you could punish them, which I said before will only cause them to go underground. It will cause them to stifle their feelings that are causing the behavior in the first place, or it'll cause them to spend more time in their room so they don't have to be around anybody to get in trouble for being grouchy or disrespectful. And it's not really getting you anywhere. But if you look at the behavior as an invitation to you to figure out what is going on with them, then you have a much better opportunity to make some progress and get to the root of it and show your love in action, right? We can tell our kids we love them, and that's a good thing. Of course we want to do that, but to show them with our actions, what active love looks like. You're struggling, and I want to be here for you, and I want to help you. That's, I think, one of the best gifts that we can give them. And when we have a conversation like I had with him last night, I still called him on his behavior. I don't like it when you treat her that way. I don't like it when you're grouchy and snappy, and she's not even doing anything to try to be mean to you. She's just being herself and you're snapping at her. So I'm letting him know in no uncertain terms that that behavior is not something I want to see or want to continue or approve of. But I'm taking a different approach to trying to neutralize it and eliminate it by supporting him so that he doesn't feel the need to behave that way anymore. So I hope that gives you some really good ideas about how you can proceed forward when your child is disrespectful or snappy or irritable or grouchy. So let me read what Laura has to say. Yes, I agree. I got to go deeper. There's always something underneath it. The hard part is sometimes, a lot of the times, parents are also depleted or don't have their needs met, which is why it's so important to have self-time and self-care. Yes, I agree. I am able to be, to show up and be what he needs me to be because I work really hard at taking care of myself. The first 2 weeks of this pandemic, this quarantine, I wasn't exercising and I was getting grouchier and grouchier and more and more irritable as each day went on with no exercise. Then I would exercise and it would be like I would wring all the tension out of me, like wringing water out of a rag. And then I would feel better, but then I wouldn't exercise the next day, the next day, the next day. And the irritability factor kept going up till I exercised, wring it all out and feel better. After 2 weeks of that pattern, I said, well, enough of this. I clearly can see that I have to exercise for my own sanity. And so that I can be the mom and the wife and the aunt and the friend and the coach that I want to be. And so I've only missed maybe 3 days of exercise in the last 5 weeks, 4.5 weeks. And I'm so much calmer and I'm so much more capable of being present. I have the bandwidth to offer the support to my loved ones and show up the way I want to show up. And Laura says, so sweet. Yes, that's love. Beautiful message to your child whom you love with all your heart. Love is always the answer. Bless you all. Thank you, Laura. Yes, love is the answer, but self-love is the first answer. When you love yourself and care for yourself, then you have the bandwidth to be who your loved ones need you to be and to show up the way you want to show up. So make sure you're loving and filling your own bucket, and then you can show up for those around you. All right, that wraps up today's webinar and episode and live broadcast. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below this video or send me an email. I would love to hear from you. Thank you. See you same time tomorrow.
That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.